For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wallace Show Aftercast. All those things we did not get to during the course of the show today, including getting in as much trouble as Joe Rogan with his $100 million podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, so Joe Rogan got in trouble for basically not lockstepping with the government and just towing that line of COVID stuff and information. And so he got lumped into people that are dishing out misinformation. You know, even though he was having honest conversations with people and asking questions and having people from other sides and challenging, they're like, no, you can't do that because you're not doing what the government says and you need to be taken off of the thing. You're hurting people. And like, that was step one. But then that didn't get him. And so then they're like, oh, he's also said racist things. And so now they're trying to get him for that. And I hadn't followed, that was new to me. Gavin knew a little bit more about this. You had said he had talked frankly about the historical context, and I'll have to say the N-word,
yes.
You know, and but he did not say the N-word.
No, he would just say the word,
right.
And I think that he was explaining that the people that he was having those conversations with did not fault him for just using the word,
right?
Because he was using it contextually. He wasn't using it to declare somebody as being that and to describe that person, and people are still upset. But that's me seeing a video of what he was saying, him
right.
coming to his own defense.
Right.
I don't know if that's 100% true, so I just don't know either side of this.
Well, like Neil Young wanted his music pulled. Then India RE kind of said the same thing. And so there's pressure on them. And now, then, like, it was one thing when you have the COVID thing. Like, Spotify can sidestep that. But anytime you throw race into it, the second they allow it, even if it's not justified, but in the press it's like, he's a racist, and you allow that, then you are culpable and you get canceled as well, which and again, it may not even be legit. And so I need to do a little bit more research on this.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that he could make that much off a podcast.
So you're saying that he could have just gone on with his day to day, making the money, doing what he does, but because he accepted Spotify's offer to be on with Spotify,
yeah.
Then the light got shone on him and now people don't like him.
He has had a very famous podcast for a while,
mm-hmm.
and been very successful with it. The Spotify deal put him into more prominence and made him make a god-awful amount of money. And so with that becomes, mm-hmm. like you're saying, the spotlight. And so, yeah, it grew legs. I always talk about that in radio. Things grow legs on you, and sometimes things you didn't expect, and they're the things that just explode. And I think that kind of was what he had. He's like, oh, I'm having conversations about COVID. I'm asking questions. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, because people are very, very, very passionate about that.
Google says that he earns $100,000 per episode.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
That's a
what do we get for ours?
Nothing.
Not that.
Yeah, and we charge nothing, so there you go. This is interesting. Redeeming Love is a movie that looks at looks like a lot of other movies that are, you know, in the movie theater now. It's the story of a young girl raised as a prostitute and her trying to get out, but then going back in, and then she meets a handsome stranger who tries to save her from this life. And I've not seen it. I saw like a trailer for it, and it's a little saucy in places, but it has some Christians like very upset. So why would they be upset at this movie versus any other like messed up love story? Why do you think, Rock?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was based on a book.
Yes.
That a lot of Christian women are very fond of.
Yeah. Yeah.
By Rivers?
Francine Rivers. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so basically, it goes one step further than that. The book that it's based on is the story of Hosea and Gomer from the Bible, which is fascinating to me. So she takes this story of in the Bible from Hosea. God tells Hosea to marry this prostitute named Gomer, explaining that she's going to continue to return to her prostitution, and Hosea needs to continue to bring her back, forgive her, no matter how much it hurts him, seeing her leave for other men. So this is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So Francine Rivers makes a modern version of this, you know, in this storyline, basically. And so then the narrative is symbolically that, you know, Hosea is compared to God, that God is consistently redeeming us, you know, and it's the story that Israel keeps going off to other gods, you know, or idols. And so, but God still redeems them. And so that's the overall story being told.
I think I get where people are coming from because I read the book once and I was like, I didn't know, I wasn't a fan.
Oh, really?
I didn't like it. But it's in the book. I don't know. Anyways, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. But I think if you put the Bible in a movie form, all of it.
Yeah.
It would get not an R rating.
Oh, yeah.
It would get a...
There's some messed up stuff.
NC-17.
You go to that Old Testament stuff.
All the stuff, you know. But I think when Christian women, maybe in the church, and they're like, oh, let's go see the movie.
Right.
We've read the book and we love it. And they're expecting to see something that you wouldn't see in like 50 Shades of Grey or something.
That's the problem, is your expectations. Yeah. And so like this isn't labeled a Christian movie by any stretch of imagination. What's funny is I saw the trailer of it before I knew this backstory, and I'm like, okay, but what caught my attention was the Lauren Daigle song, Rescue, is under the trailer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I did think, man, why would she put her name to that movie? Because it looks really saucy in places, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you know what? They buy songs all the time. She makes money off of it. That's interesting. Somebody could like the song, find out who Lauren Daigle is. But then when I found out that this is, you know, a veiled story of the story of Hosea and Gomer, it brings up the question, though, of is it wrong to tell this story and depict it explicitly on video or film, and even though it's not really that much different from the Bible? Like, is that wrong, but the Bible's not wrong reading it? You know, like, I don't understand
that. I guess
that.
Because if you believe, like, in the Bible it says if, and of course this is the Betty version.
Sure.
If you believe part of it, then you don't believe the whole Bible, and you can't do that. You either have to believe the whole thing or nothing. And so... Where was I going?
Well, my question is,
I don't remember.
Is it because it's depicted visually that that's the problem with it versus reading it? Because you can read, it's the same thing. You're reading bad stories, but then when you put it to film, it's people acting it out and you see.
Well, you're going into more detail.
Right.
Yeah, you're going into more detail. And I don't remember the story of
Hosea and Gomer.
I don't remember that.
Hosea.
So I don't know how it went in the Bible. But I'm imagining they didn't.
But you remember the other book? Boy, that's sad.
I do.
You remember the Francine Rivers book, but you don't remember the Bible.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wait a minute. How did this turn around? Because who is the one that's reading through the Bible for this year? Me.
Yeah, and how do you not know this story?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Wait till like May.
Yeah.
Where is it in the Bible?
Hosea.
Like closer to the end of the Old Testament.
Yeah. Okay. She's like, okay, well, I'll get to it then. I just think it's interesting because you look at the movie, like Christianity and art together can be very challenging. Because if you look at Priceless tried to tell the story of human trafficking. And there's one scene with this underage girl. And so you're trying to depict the graphic nature of it because you want to... you know, have an effect on people and have them become aware of something or change their ways or what have you. And they pulled up short, and I think smartly so, pulled up short and alluded to, and then, you got the idea, you moved on, and stuff like that. And I think Christian audiences could handle that. This one from the trailer, I'm like, oh, wow, that looks like any regular PG-13 or R-rated movie in parts. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I can see. But I see where people, if you're billing this as the story from the Bible, you know, or people off out of the marketing division of them, but people are word of mouth billing it as that, then you're going to have a lot of shocked moms when they go to the movie theater. It's kind of like American Underdog. One of the first lines when he walks into a thing is like a swear word. And, and I'm like, oh man, that's one of those things within Christian audiences can undo everything. They go, oh, I thought this was a Christian movie. Why was there a swear word there? And you know, it's like, well, you're telling the story of this guy's life, and that might have been what happened, or why did he live with this girl? You know, it's weird because we see so many, the Bible is filled with morality plays, in essence, and they have so much jacked up stuff in there. And we have no problem reading that and telling the story, but then when we do it in film, it causes an uproar inside of our faith, which it's, and I don't even know 100% where I fall on it, because I think if you're doing something that's like super graphic, then you're maybe missing, people are maybe missing your message, and that's not what you want to have happen. And so I think there's a balance inside of telling a good story, telling art without being super explicit in it. But the Bible, it's got some messed up stuff in there. Stuff you don't see in the flannelgrams on Sunday Sunday school, man.
Imagine if they did.
Yeah, I know. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Famous music icon from the younger generation, Billie Eilish, made a big impression on her fans recently when she stopped her concert after she noticed that a fan in the front was in distress.
Are we good here? Hold on. I got you. You need an inhaler. Do we have an inhaler? Can we just grab one? We got one. It's okay. We got one.
She's very calm.
Guys, give her some time. Some time. Don't crowd.
Oh.
Relax. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We're taking care of our people. Hold on. I wait for people to be okay until I keep going.
Unlike Travis Scott.
Shots fired. That's so good.
You know, that was a shot.
In Travis Scott's situation, his big thing was he was telling people to rebel. He was telling people to go against security and hop the fences and all this stuff.
Well, not at that one show, though. Before that, he had. Yeah, but not at that show.
He has a history of it.
Yeah. But that show was different. His defense was, I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't hear. You know, I had no idea. Because it was farther back. Good on her, though, for recognizing that and then stopping and being so kind to her. Don't cry. It's okay. We're good. We'll all get back to this. That shows a really great level of humanity for her. And not in Travis Scott's defense, but, you know, if you're playing a show and you've got in-ear monitors, they call them, they go in your ears, and you cannot hear. They're designed to block out everything but what's going in your ears. You sometimes are not aware of what's going on. And I remember this happened with Mercy Me at Night of Joy. They're playing their big show right in front of the castle there, and people are screaming to Bart from the front. They're screaming, and he can't really figure out what they're doing. He thinks they're just into the show or goofing with him, and he's like, and he starts laughing and then makes a joke and then moves on. And then they keep going, and he finally stops, and he like pulls out his in-ear, and he realizes they're screaming for a doctor, like somebody had like a heart attack there.
Oh,
and he had no idea. But here's what I love about Mercy Me. Like, that's where they just flipped the script like that, and they went into like this worship set, which was so amazing. So they went in, and there, I can only imagine, they're playing all these worship type songs while people were getting help to this person and getting them taken care of and moved to a safer location. It was fascinating.
That's really cool
to watch.
So I'm doing a little bit of digging on the Travis Scott situation.
Yeah.
It says he's often encouraged fans to bypass security and rush the stage.
Yes.
But none of those previous situations resulted in fatalities.
Until it
did. Right.
Until it did. Right. So he did encourage people to...
Well, I know, but not at this show. That's why I wasn't arguing your point. He had up till that point, but that show in specific, he had not been on stage encouraging it, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
He didn't incite it.
But with people hearing or seeing those concerts, knowing what he's done in the past or been to those concerts,
they know.
Yeah, and it's known for, like, he would also on his social media, he would post pictures of people in the audience that had blacked out or whatever because of so much searching. Yeah. And he would call him a hero.
Oh.
So when kids see that on your social media, right, they think, well, this is what he wants.
Right.
So to me, that's encouraging it.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? Birthdays?
Yes, we do have a birthday. It's from Melissa.
Just one, a solo.
It's from Melissa to your wife, Marty.
Oh, there you go. Well, she stole my thunder. I was going to do that, but okay.
She has a burning building question for you.
Okay.
She said, would you rather for the rest of your life eat only vegetables, but you have your grape-flavored water, or eat anything you want, but the only drink you can have is plain water?
Choose the water.
Yeah, I'd eat anything I want to eat. I could get used to water if I had to.
It's like three meals a day that you have to do with vegetables, whereas men can survive on a cup of water a day.
Yeah, why would I want vegetables at all?
I'd like to see you drink one plain bottle of water today.
That would take me forever. It would. I've already finished two regular bottles of flavored water. So I'm doing good there, but no.
It's not even water anymore.
No, no. Did everybody accomplish your weekend plans that you had said from Friday?
Yes. I went to go see my parents, which was great. And they got their results back from the 23andMe that I got them.
I love that.
So we did a lot of digging on that, and that was fun. When I got home on Friday, I laid down on the couch and I fell asleep around 2:30. I woke up at 6.
Three and a half hours.
And nice. Then I went back to bed at 11:30 and woke up at 10.
10 the next day. Oh, those days of waking up at like 10 or 11.
I miss them.
Sounds like you need to do
it. I know. I'm tired. Like, my weekend flew by, man. Mm-hmm. Like, before I knew it was done. And so I'm like, I'm kind of missing it. I stayed up late a lot, too, so.
Yeah, especially because you were just saying you ate a cinnamon roll as big as your face at 10:30.
Was that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was close to
10:30.
No, it wasn't quite that late. No, I was thinking, I was looking for a time in my head, but it was late. It was close to my bedtime.
That's so good.
Insane.
Yeah, but it was so good.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, and I don't even like cinnamon rolls. This girl, the girl that made it for my wife for her birthday, is a friend of our family, their daughter, and she's cooking, and she's like 12, and she makes a lot of the meals for the families. She might be 13 now, and I was like, oh my gosh, she needs to do this for a living. Like, her cinnamon roll, I don't like them. And I tried one. I was like, oh.
Why didn't you bring it here if you don't like cinnamon rolls? It could have brought
it
here.
Ironically, Marty asked me about that. She's like, do you want to take them in for Gavin and Betty? And I said, Gavin is on a diet and Betty doesn't like sweet stuff.
I do it pretty.
What? Yeah. Yes, I do.
She eats hotcakes like every other day.
No, you constantly like,
that's a lie.
Too sweet for me. Too sweet for me. You always say that. You'll eat something, oh, it's too sweet for me.
You didn't want to take away your opportunity to eat your little thin bagel thing.
Yeah, he's just looking for an excuse.
Because you always say that. You're like, it's too sweet for me. And so,
but pancakes aren't?
I don't know. I don't even know anymore. I thought I had you figured
in. Why do you always listen to specific things I say, but in the broad spectrum, that's out.
I pick and choose. Because I've offered you like junk food or sweets and stuff before. And like, oh, it's too sweet for me.
Candy.
Yeah.
Not
cinnamon
for breakfast.
Rolls count? Okay.
No, cinnamon rolls are the best.
Really? Okay. Well, if there's any left when I get home, because I think she was going to do a face plant. So if there's any left, maybe I'll bring one in tomorrow. happy birthday, honey. I know you'll never hear this because you don't listen to the podcast, but it's the thought that counts. And that's going to do it for your aftercast. And thanks for being a potty.